Good morning, everyone. Come on in.
Let's get started for the day. If you are new to this call, this is a weekly Q&A. Plus, I always teach something. So this month, the whole membership is focused on now. So last month, we focused on leveling up, like our actions, things we can actually do to level up. And this month, we are focused on leveling up our thinking because I just know this. If you have been working with me for any amount of time, you know that how we think greatly impacts how we feel and do in our life. So I want to say this before we get started, which is how you think is not going to determine how successful you are. It's how you think and recognize it and work on it. That is going to dictate how successful you are. Because a lot of you think you've got to like wipe out, like, oh my God, I still have excuses. Oh my God, I still think bad things about me. Oh my God, I think all this negativity. If negative thinking stopped us from being successful in life, well, first of all, I wouldn't be here. I'd still weigh 250 because I had a lot of negative thinking all the way down the scale. I would not have a successful business. I wouldn't be able to help all of y'all. This morning, I probably had 5,000 shitty thoughts. I did not want to work out this morning at all. I am not joking. I'm going to just show y'all the proof. Let me see. Let me make sure that y'all can actually read my text. Oh, so this morning I'm texting Chris because he's upstairs because, you know, that is what one does when they live in the same house. They don't walk upstairs. They text each other. So I have an Oura ring. And I wasn't feeling so hot this morning. My period has started. And like, I was like, oh, I bet my Oura ring is going to be just like shame, shame, double shame. Everybody knows your name. And so I went to look and they have this thing called circles. And in the circles, you can see what other friends of yours Oura rings are. So I have in my circle, I just have Chris and Jane. Like basically, y'all, that is my world right there. Like, I hardly talk to any other humans ever, including my son who lives here. I can go days without seeing him in our own house. So I'm like, man, your Oura ring was like in the stinker this morning because his was really bad. And he said, oh, I just need to be updated. And so then I got to telling him, I said, the first time, or like last night, you kicked the shit out of me. Like I was still awake. He kicked the fucking shit out of my leg. I was like, oh my God. And so I tried to wake him up. He just was like incoherent. Then I fell asleep and then he punched me, almost hitting back. And so we were texting about it this morning. And my last text read, I have no desire to start this day. Fuck me. That was literally the text I sent, I don't know, 12 minutes ago. So if being able to be in a great mood and still function, having to have perfect thinking all the time, like was the requirement to show up, guess what? None of us could get anything done in life. You would never change a diaper. You probably wouldn't even feed yourself. How many times have you said, I'm just too tired to cook? I don't feel like it. And then you end like you got to do something because we ain't going hungry and you do it anyway. So this month, the reason why I want to emphasize this is because a lot of you have this mistaken idea that once you understand that like our thoughts are powerful and that we're going to work on changing our thinking over time, a lot of you get stuck in what I call no man's land. Well, I'm hearing my shitty thoughts, so I can't do. That is not true. All you have to do is be able to hear your shitty thoughts. If you know it's not a helpful thought and it feels bad, but you also know what you need to do, what you have thought in advance about what how you're going to show up in those moments, you just tell yourself, I always think shit like that. I often don't feel like doing things that are going to be good for me. This is not a big deal. We're just going to have to get up and get going and see what happens. That is just called life. Now, There is a lot of stuff that we can look at in our thinking, and we can challenge, and we can like coax ourselves into, so that all of our thinking isn't just really scary, really doubtful, really catastrophizing, over worrying, overthinking. There are things we can do. But if you're sitting there and you believe that until I don't have excuses and urges or want it, until those things happen, there's just no way I could lose weight, you are sadly mistaken. The reason you're not losing weight is because of that thought. It's because you keep thinking, unless I've got perfect thinking, I can't do. Unless these thoughts go away, I can't do. There's so much that you can do in weight loss with imperfect thinking. You just have to see it and do the shit anyway. And so this whole month, we're going to be talking about, how do we level up? How do we make small shifts into what we're thinking so that we can lose weight and we can do the shit that we know we need to be doing for ourselves? So let me pull up, I need to get Coach Mish up. She's going to be up here helping out in the Q&A and in the chat. And then let me get my notes up so we can get started. All right. So this month, if you go to nobswomen.com/, my team cracks me up, giving me these long ass links, /this-month-in-no-bs. So that's the link spelled out the hard way. But what you can do is you can go to the menu and you should have a button that will take you to what we're doing this month in NoBS. You do not have to hard code that into your Safari window. But we want to make sure that we go to the monthly focus. So if you go to your website and you put in, like, you look for the monthly focus, Mish, do me a favor so I don't read this out like an asshole. Can you just tell me what the actual button on the website says? So I can just say, like, in the menu, if you click that, this is where you go. Because I need to say that out loud, not the long, hard slog of a link. All right, so this is what we're going to be covering this month. Today, what we're going to be talking about is how to hear your hard thinking. So we've really got to figure out, what is this hard thinking and where is it? And then next week, we're going to do the three keys to feeling better, one thought at a time. The following week, we'll be talking about the real reason that we fuck it eat and what to do about it. And then the last week, we're going to go into the power of pausing. Like, how do we pause thoughts? How do we pause things so that we can lose weight? So if you're looking for the course materials, there is a guide that goes along with it. You can go to the menu, click courses, and then you'll see this month in NoBS underneath there. All right. So let's talk about how to hear hard thinking and why it matters. First of all, you cannot lose weight if you are not listening to what you're thinking about. No one loses weight permanently, happily, easily, with less stress, where things start clicking, unless they learn how to listen to their thinking. This was clutch and key for me when I was losing my weight. I did not have a guru. I did not have training in this. I didn't have anything. There was something about Corinne that went back in my day, I would hear myself be hard on myself. And I remember saying in my brain, oh my God, we got to quit thinking like this. This is not helpful. We're just going to keep doing things. We're just going to keep trucking along. I'm just not going to be mean to myself right now. I didn't have a positive thought to offer me. Like, for the first 50 pounds, I was not cheerleading myself hardly ever. The main thing that I was doing is, it reminds me of I watch a ton of medical shows. Like, right now we're in the middle of The Resident. Well, actually we're at the end of The Resident. And somebody is in an accident and they've got to, like, tie off the bleeding to get them to the emergency room. That's the way that I think thought work kind of starts. It's like, you got to start with First, where do I need to cut the bleeding off? So for a lot of you, it's body bashing, making mistakes be the end all be all to your humanity. Like you overeat and you like carry it like a thorny cross for 3 days. And it's just whip, 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 one right after another. We have to hear this kind of stuff. You don't need to, like, if you're in the throes of it, don't be trying to change the thinking. Don't be trying to do anything other than, I got to just get so good at hearing these things so that when they're happening, I can tell myself, that's some of that thinking I'm working on changing. That's some of that thinking that like I know feels bad. So Sally just asked a good question. I really struggle to hear or catch my thinking either unhelpful or helpful. Which resources would be this call right now, Sally? I'm going to give you the answer. Spend more time in fucking silence and you'll hear it. Like when you're in the shower, what do you think about? Just listen. Like it's a, like literally you just have to listen. We're always narrating. Your brain is always narrating things. Like right now, I'm talking to y'all. And when I look this direction, the clouds in the sky are in the reflection of this window. And while I was explaining this to Sally, I looked over and I was like, oh, it looks like it's going to be a pretty day. That just ran through my head. So the best way to do it, I'll give you a couple. Let me skip to the third point I was going to make. The best way to catch automatic thinking is first is to just literally spend some time in silence. Now, I'm not talking y'all need to be a monk and go 24 hours. But I have been practicing, like when I go out for walks, rather than talking to Jane the whole time and listening to something, I'm spending just a few minutes, whether it's 1 minute or 5 minutes, I walk in silence. And it's uncomfortable at first. When you're used to noise all the time, drowning out your thinking, at first it feels weird. And it can feel painful when you first start, if you just automatically hear a bunch of who nanny. So if that's like Janet says, it sounds scary. Janet, I would love for you to tell me in the Q&A, why does that sound scary? This is one of the thick thoughts that we're going to want to catch this month, because if like, oh my God, being quiet with myself sounds scary, that's a red flag. What that's saying, something terrifying must be happening in my brain. I must have things going on in my head that I wouldn't want to hear. And when it sounds scary, your brain is thinking things like that, which means you will not listen to your thoughts. So the worst thing that can happen for any of us is that we tune out our natural thinking, because when you're not listening to it, you can't interrupt it. You can't shift it. You can't examine it. You can't get curious about it. You can't pivot it. You can't do a fucking thing about it, because now you're not listening. When we're not listening to it, guess what happens? We just run on autopilot. We're running on autopilot now. So like now what we're doing is like, well, I don't know why I overeat. I don't know why I feel so stressed. It must just be work. You know you're not listening to your thinking when you feel bad, you're not acting the way you want, or you look around and you're not getting the things you want, and the only plausible explanation you have is some fact, something, someone. This is how your brain works. The world outside of you does things. So people say words to you. You have interactions with people. You go to work and circumstances happen. A meeting gets called. You need to work late, whatever it is. Your kid says XYZ. Your brain immediately tells a story about it. That's how our brain works. It has to create, it has to formulate a story. Because its job is to try to describe to you what it thinks is happening. It's just trying to tell you what this really means. And one of the ways that we do this a lot is notice if you ever read texts or emails and you get mad. And if somebody else read it, they may or may not get mad. Sometimes, like, I will get a text from someone, I'll be like, rude. Like, especially Chris. Chris is like real bottom line. Like, if I send him, I could send him a long ass text asking questions, talking about something that, you know, like it's really important to me. And I will get back, number one, if he even reads it, until I prod him to read it, good luck to Corinne. But then if he ever does read it, I might get an emoji, like a thumbs up. I may get fine. And so often I'm like, fuck that. He must not care. Like, in my mind, a short response means he must think I'm just a bother. He's being rude. He should like blah, blah, blah. And I always have to check myself because my brain automatically assumes that when someone doesn't communicate exactly the way I communicate and they don't tell me all the things I would love to hear, that this must be a problem. And so a lot of times I have to stop myself and say, this is not a problem. If you feel bad, then you need to just say, I would like a longer text. When I text you these things, could you give me a longer text? And if he decides, if he says, no, I don't like doing that, then I get to decide, do I continue to spend my life mad and thinking he doesn't love me and doesn't respect me and all this other stuff? Or I'm just like, okay, that's not what he likes to say. So I can just be like, all right, this is not a reflection of me. This is his wants and desires. Am I okay with letting this shit go for both our sake? Because sometimes what we have to realize, especially in relationships, is that you've got to decide what is worth having conversations over and what's just worth letting go over. So, and until you're listening to your brain, you will never, ever know how often you're the one making you miserable. Like, I'm going to pick on Karen Brent this morning. She had this long post. Karen, I'm going to be real honest. I couldn't read all of it. I read most of it. And it was about an email. What I would invite Karen to do, she has one story about it, that this person was, I think it came across to me, Karen, you have to tell me if I'm wrong, but I was kind of reading it. It came across to me like you thought this person was being condescending. And here's the deal. Karen has no clue as to how many people probably asked her the same fucking question. Karen has no clue if this person really didn't mean to be condescending, that their boss said, answer all of them this way. Karen really has no clue what the actual intentions are, but she's decided to make it mean this was condescending to me. And so her work really is to figure out, why would I take an email? All right, so this is good. Karen says, I don't think she meant to be that way, but she was wrong. So that ticks me off. So I just want you to notice, Karen, here's your opportunity for level up in your thinking. I'm going to spend the rest of my life being ticked off when other people are wrong. She's wrong, so I therefore am going to be ticked off about it. That's a miserable way to live. How about just being like, yeah, she's wrong, moving on. That's probably going to look bad on her. And Karen, I'm not like literally, I'm not trying to pick on you. I needed a good example today of what I was talking about. And that just happened to be the only one that I read today that I could grasp onto. And so here's the thing, all of us, we got to be listening to our thoughts. We have to be listening to them. So you can decide to journal sometimes. If you're not ready to walk in silence, then do 1 to 2 minutes of writing each day. This is how I feel, and this is why. And make yourself write three sentences that explain your feeling. That will give you insight into how you think. It could be, this is how I'm feeling about my 24-hour plan today. Three reasons why I feel good about it, scared of it, worried about it, whatever it is. Because then when you see those things, you've just now given yourself the opportunity to figure out, oh, that's why I feel this way. And I always love this exercise because it's the fastest one to teaching you how to stop thinking people, situations, and things in life inherently create your feelings. Now, every day, if you really want to get better at listening to like what's going on and being able to make that connection, because the moment you realize that how you feel is based on how you think instead of based on what's going on in your life, you end up with freedom. You have so much opportunity in life to just feel better about a lot of things. So much of us, there's two types of suffering in the world. There's legit suffering. It's like when my baby was diagnosed with autism, I had legit suffering. It was very scary. I was supposed to be scared. I think I was supposed to worry. There was a lot there. If my mama was to pass away, I'm supposed to miss her. Like, just like my grandparents, I've missed them every day since the day that they've died. That's supposed to happen. That's not unnecessary suffering. That's what we call natural, normal human suffering. When I watch the news and something bad happens, like we had recently, there is a 16-year-old autistic boy who went missing a few weeks ago in Nashville. And every time I see it on the news, breaks my heart. Just breaks my heart. That's not unnecessary suffering. I want to be heartbroken over stuff like that. I want to hope that they find him, but I also want to ache for his mother. If someone is rude in our group for some, y'all are rarely ever misbehaving. So let's just give you all a pat on the back. Let's just say somebody in our group drops a big ass, shit bomb and just like, having the worst day ever and decides to make sure everybody around them, including the Nobius women, have the worst day ever. You know what I want to be? Protective. I want to be anxious in that moment because I'm going to want to put that fire out. I want to worry in that moment about how many members saw it. Because without that, I probably wouldn't move to the next step of problem solving. If I was just like, oh, well, everybody has bad days, that's all right. Then I'm not gonna have the negative feeling that actually prompts me to do something about it. If I get diagnosed, it's just like when Chris got diagnosed with cancer. I did not want to put a happy spin on that. I wanted to cry. I wanted to feel afraid and stuff. So it's important for you to know that there are two types of suffering in this world. There is the on purpose, this makes sense suffering. And then there's a whole lot of unnecessary suffering. And that's where we want to level up our thinking. Unnecessary suffering is making shit mean crap that ain't there. deciding, like I was talking to someone the other day. She was talking about no BS with her husband, and she said, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this or something like that. And the husband says, well, if you apply yourself, I guess you could. Well, she was just like, he's so unsupportive, blah, blah, blah. And of course, you know, women dogpiling, like, yeah, unsupportive, like, got no facts other than that. And I said, was he being unsupportive or was he just saying, yeah, if you apply yourself, you can lose weight. The only thing that was going on there is that she took it as he didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. It's all going to be okay. I'll love you no matter what. And I asked her, are you telling yourself that? Have you told yourself it'll all be okay? And no matter what happens, I'll love you no matter what. Because that's the valuable work. That's the point of hearing our thoughts. We want to know all of this shit that we think. Having an overeat and thinking, see, I'll never lose weight. That is unnecessary suffering. Instead of having an overeat and saying, what do I need most in this moment? Probably compassion. Not a beat down. I probably need to give myself a hug and say, we're figuring this out. What did you really need? But if you can't do any of that unless you're hearing things. First step is we have to hear. And then when we hear things, we have to listen to what it is that we're saying. And then we get to where, like, I'm going to tell y'all, the shittiest thoughts are the littlest thoughts. You will not believe how much better you could feel in life. Like, it will feel like getting a happy pill if you listen for little shitty thoughts instead of what most of y'all want to do. Well, if I start listening, I'm going to discover some kind of trauma that I've probably blocked my entire life. I'm terrified of what I'm going to find in there. How about we just start with some of the garden variety bullshit, unnecessary suffering? Let's get to feeling better by cutting out some horse shit first. Here are your examples of bullshit, tiny ass thinking that most of you have, and it's time to level it up. Number one, this is going to be hard for me. I mean, shit, Corinne, what do you mean? Do stuff when I'm thinking it's not good enough. That's going to be hard for me. Y'all, that's just true. That is not true. That's a thought. Thoughts can feel true. But I'm going to tell y'all, I always say it, just because you think it, it doesn't mean it's true. Just because it feels true, still doesn't believe it's true. There are motherfuckers walking around this planet right now who still think the earth's flat. Just determined that the earth's flat. So don't sit there and tell me that human brains can't be wrong about shit. If you can be wrong about something we can take a picture from out of space and prove wrong, then my God, I bet you can be wrong about how hard it's going to be to do something that feels like it's not good enough. What the hell are we doing? Taking nails and driving them up our arms? When I hear that, when I'm like, oh, God, it's going to be so hard. This is what I usually tell myself. I don't know. Maybe it won't be as hard as I think. Maybe it'll feel hard at first and then it'll get better. And then this is the other thing. You can always ask yourself, I wonder why it's going to fit. Why is it going to be hard for me? Most of the time it's going to be because I think it's not going to be good enough. I think it won't work. Like those are the little thoughts. Like, I think it won't work. Really? Where the fuck's your crystal ball? Invite me over for the lottery.
I want to pick out my numbers tomorrow. Because if you're so good about telling the future, I got a few questions and I need you to come to Nashville, set my ass down, and give me wisdom to the stock market. Y'all, you are not good at knowing if something's going to work or not. You know what you're real good at? Not trying and convincing yourself, see, I knew it wouldn't work. If you ain't doing jack shit and trying shit, how the fuck do you know? Those are the little thoughts that we have to keep catching. We have to keep challenging over and over and over again. Because if you don't, you just feel bad. Y'all act like feeling bad is going to be, well, if I try it and I fail, then I'm going to beat myself up. I invite you to try something just to see if you fail. Number one, we got to see if you're even going to fail. You might be trying to preserve a beatdown that may never come because you don't fucking know if it's going to work or not. There's one thing that you ain't even considered. Here's the second thing you ain't considered. Try some shit, mess up, and learn how to quit beating yourself up. Listen for those thoughts and remind yourself, the people that lose weight learn how to quit beating themselves up over mistakes. Notice I didn't say people who lose weight never make mistakes. They put themselves in what's called harm's way. They're purposely trying things when they're nervous, doubting, worried it won't work to see. They're purposely doing things to trigger their brain to be a complete asshole because they're tired of being an asshole to themselves. And the only way to stop being an asshole to yourself is to put yourself in situations where your brain starts doing it so that you can tell yourself, look, we're cutting it off. I'm not going to talk to myself this way. I'm just going to keep trying. And every time this asshole stuff comes up, I'm going to tell myself, nope, we're not going to think that. Not in this moment. And you do that over and over and over again. And then guess what happens? The asshole starts going away. But you know how the asshole never goes away? Getting tucked in the back. So I want y'all to imagine this. You were at the sporting event of your life for you. Okay? You're on the field. And you're playing the game of life. And you got a spectator who's chowing down popcorn telling you all the ways you fucked up. And for some reason, y'all think like, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll move that spectator from the front row to the 20th row. That'll do it. Except it doesn't because you can still hear it. You don't hear it as much because you're trying to ignore it. But in clutch moments, asshole is speaking up. Asshole had got a megaphone. Asshole's talking loud. Do you know how do you get rid of the asshole? You keep playing the game, making mistakes, scoring, whatever it is that you do that churns up your asshole. And you call security every time they start. Now, this asshole is going to sneak back into the stadium over and over again. But guess what he's got to do? He's got to change his seats. He's got to be more clever. He's going to have to hide. He's only going to be able to speak up in certain situations. Now he's like, well, maybe I'm not going to scream at every mistake. I'm going to scream at only the ones where I got an excellent comeback, where I can get on the jumbo screen of her life. And every time you're like, call security, asshole's back, and eventually they get tired of coming in. Or eventually you've escorted them out so much and locked so many doors, they can't get back in. That's what hearing your thinking does. But for some reason, y'all just want to say like, well, look, asshole, I realize you don't like anything about me and you want to ruin my day all the time. I'm going to keep playing the game of life and I'm just going to move you 20 seats back. And then you know what? Maybe I should bench myself. That'll keep the asshole quiet. But then you get to just watch your life pass by. You miss out on all of it. And even when you're watching, let me just tell you, when you bench yourself, and you think you're preventing all of this, guess what? That asshole's not watching the rest of your life. They're still yelling at you while you're on the bench. I knew you couldn't do this. One of these days, you should try getting your shit together. You're just wasting your life. The tone changes. You're not saving yourself anything. You gotta listen to this stuff. The only way is to stop trying to protect your feelings, because I guarantee all of you, if you have an inner critic, you cannot eat enough food to shut them down. They are either beating you up over failing, or they're beating you up over not trying at all. So if we're going to get a beat down in the time being, let's get a beat down because we're trying so hard. And then let's work on changing that conversation while we keep trying so hard. Because you can't get anywhere just sitting around doing nothing, hoping for the best. All right, here's some of the other thoughts. I'm just going to have to be uncomfortable. Really? Why do you have to be? Is it like, I always love it when that thought comes up. It's like, that is not true. This could be a little uncomfortable. It could not be as uncomfortable as I think. It could only be uncomfortable for the first few times I try it. And then I like to ask myself, what's going to make it so uncomfortable? Take that to ask coaches. Here's why I think this is going to be so uncomfortable for me. And don't forget, uncomfortable is a feeling that is not caused by something that you do. It's caused by, I'm going to do this thing. These thoughts are going to make me uncomfortable while I do it. So we want to make sure that we're examining all of those things. Because sometimes you'll find, oh, maybe I could start this a little easier. Maybe I don't have to do all of it. Maybe the reason why it's going to be uncomfortable is my judgment around it. We want to find that stuff so we can find little ways to just change the thought. I just lack control. Why? Look for those thoughts. My 1% level up on this one, on I just lack control, is like in everything. Where do I have control in life? Why in those areas? What is it that I'm telling myself about those areas that I refuse to tell myself the same when it comes to food? Because if you can control, like, yelling at people, throat punching people, if you can control a lot of those things, that means you already have the skill to control yourself. But when you think you lack control with food, it will always be harder. So we don't want to jump to, I have total control. You might want to ask yourself, what could I do with these foods to set me up to have more control than I currently do? That would be a good question. And then the last one is, it's not easy for me. Why is that a problem? Everything new is always going to not be easy for anyone. So why is that a problem? It's not easy for me is code for, it's not easy for me because I think I am. And you have to figure that part out. So we want to be figuring out these little things that we think so we can put little twists on them, make little improvements on them, challenge them. And here's a pro tip. You know how y'all just love to doubt things are going to work, doubt that you can do things? What if you started applying the same exact amount of energy that you go into doubting that things won't work for you into doubting the sentences that you think about you? What if half the shit you think about you is wrong? And I'm talking the negative shit. For some of you, you want to be thinking about that. Like, have I even ever doubted some of the opinions I have about myself? Have I ever even doubted some of the opinions that I keep carrying around about food, my worth, my past? So many of you think that your past is such an indicator of failure in the future. Have you ever tried to cast doubt on that? Like, challenge yourself to go a few days thinking, I doubt my past has anything to do with what I eat today, rather than, this is just going to be like every other day. And y'all will say that like it's the only truth there is. And yet, it is also just as true that what happened in the past doesn't make you eat things today. You might have similar thinking. You might feel similarly, but that doesn't mean it has to have the same outcome. That's just a decision to not do it like you did last time. That's just a decision not to believe some of the shit you're thinking. That's it. We already talked about some of the ways to catch your automatic thinking. Number one is spend some time in silence. Number two is to journal. Number three is to post in Facebook what's going on for you, or talk out loud to your accountability groups what's going on for you. That's called oral journaling. Most of you think like I'm a shitty journaler, and then yet y'all can have, 30-minute text threads working with your accountability group or partner bitching about your life. That bitch session about your life is also called journaling. All your thoughts are right there. If you think you don't know how to journal, you're probably wrong. Get out a piece of paper, pretend it's your favorite partner in crime when it comes to complaining. Complain in your journal. Blame in your journal. Bitch and moan. Bellyache. Get riled up in your journal. That is a journaling session. That will show you what you're thinking. So many of you think you can't do it, and it's like, I just go blank. It's like, all right, then talk out loud. Find an accountability partner. And y'all use the Marco Polo app and say, here's my daily journal for the day. That's why every day I walk with Jane, I don't handwrite everyday journaling anymore. The only time I ever do that is when I'm working through, a lot of times it's ideas and solutions. Like, I'll write about a problem I'm having where I need to come up with new ways to try and new things. And so I'll write a little bit about the problem as it is, and then I'll write about problems and or solutions for it. But when I talk to Jane every day, I'm just orally journaling. I'm just going through my day. I'm complaining. I'm doing all the things. And as I'm doing it, I'm listening and I'm like, yeah, I see where I'm thinking this. I know it's not helpful. I'm going to real, like, a lot of times I don't work through anything. I just say, I'm just going to pay attention today for when I'm thinking this and remind myself it's okay. Just keep going. Usually that is enough. And then whatever it is that I was all worked up about, because I end up having a productive day anyway, I get shit done anyway. Guess what? That problem kind of just goes away. Some stuff never even has to be truly resolved. You just need to feel it for a little bit and move on. And then to feel better, you have to be willing to look at any thought that's unhelpful or makes you doubt yourself. So that's what I want to finish with. Understanding what you're thinking about isn't bad, isn't shameful, isn't weird. There is nothing any of you think, I promise you, there's nothing any of you think that the rest of us or some of us haven't thought too. I've never literally had anybody, after all these years of coaching, come on a call and say something that I'm like, I'm shocked. I've never heard anybody say this. I have coached women that want to cheat on their partners. I have coached women who are at their wits' end and wish they hadn't had their children. I have coached women who are wanting to just leave their life. I have coached all of it. So, like, if you're thinking, like, well, I eat in secret, well, welcome to like the other 5,000 of us, 50% of us that eat in secret in this group. If you think you're the only binge eater, welcome to the over 2,000 of us in this group who do the same. Y'all aren't that special. Not in the way you think you are. Y'all think y'all are special in a bad way. You know what you are? You're special in a good way. You're special because you're here. You're special because you're working on you while also working on your relationship with food and your weight. If you're going to make yourself special, y'all, quit trying to be a special snowflake or unicorn of problems and shame. And think about what makes you special because you're a Nobius woman. Not everybody chooses this path. Plenty of people quit all the time. They get tired of trying to do the work of feeling better. That is literally what people do. It's too hard to try to feel better. So I'm just going to go back to feeling nothing, feeling bad. Being in that truth. I don't want that for any of you. Like, not a damn one of you. All right, let's see what questions that we had. So, one of the things I do want y'all to do is I want you to decide how you're going to eavesdrop on your brain this month. Try some silence. For me, I sometimes just get ready with no noise. Sometimes I go out for a walk for a little bit with no noise. If I'm driving somewhere, sometimes I just turn everything off. I won't even listen to the radio. And I just let myself have 1 to 3 minutes. And then a lot of times I get lost in my thoughts. And it's a good thing. Janet says, I'm scared of sitting in silence because I know how negative my thoughts are. I don't want to beat myself up anymore. I'm so mean to myself. Right. So, Janet, if you don't listen to it, how are you ever going to challenge it? How are you ever going to level up those thoughts? So right now I'm like, well, I will trade fear and like all the repercussions of having such awful thoughts about me for feeling bad that I think badly of myself. At some point, we have to decide. Not listening, not trying to change all this, doesn't actually make us feel good. It's like you're trading one pain for another. And the problem is that when you don't listen to these thoughts, you don't hear how negative they are, and you don't hear all of the beatdown and stuff. Guess what? If you don't hear it, it just is your truth. At some level, it's repeating all the time. What's not challenged becomes automatic thinking. Do you want that to be the automatic thinking that runs the show of your life? Do you want to approach everything thinking, I'm not good enough? I'm a terrible person. Or do you want to approach your life loving how to change how you think? Because even though both sides feel bad, one has a positive outcome. The other one doesn't. What is the best way to get comfortable with stillness and quiet? A little at a time, slow drips. I'm going to tell you right now, because like my son cracks me up. I swear to God, my child, it is like he did not even come from this womb. I had to practice being in silence. It started with like 30 seconds to a minute. It's about all I could tolerate. And I mean, I just recently started doing this because I have for so long listen to podcasts, listen to music. Like a lot of you have me in your ear all the time. I think that's great, but don't listen to me at the expense of listening to you. If you want to listen to me 90% of the time, go for it. But at least 10% of your life, please listen to what you think also, not just what Corinne thinks. And so it currently makes me so uncomfortable and anxious. So when I start to hear the inner voice, I want to find something to do. So I'll give you something to do. When you hear the inner voice, instead of tuning it out and going and doing something, which is just like, all right, I heard this negative voice. And when you don't challenge it, guess what? That negative voice is like, okay, you must want to think that. You didn't challenge me. You didn't question me. In fact, you tried to run from me. So I'm going to need to catch up to you because this is what I really think. Like, I want you to think about it. Your negative thinking, like, if you're running from it, it's just going to chase you because it's like, but you didn't hear me. I got to catch up to you. Where are you? When you hear it, then you challenge it. That's what you're like, I need something to do. Question it. Is this as true as I think it is? Is this the only thing that I could think about me? If my best friend heard me say this, what would they say? If I heard my child saying this to me, what would I say to them? That's the stuff you tell yourself. But yeah, getting comfortable with it, I would just tell myself it's probably going to be a little uncomfortable because it's new. I'm going to get used to it. And I'm going to hear things that sound hurtful, and they may even hurt. But here's what I know. None of it is unrecoverable. I promise y'all, good Lord, if I can have a better attitude about me, any of you can. Holy fuck. I wish we had had phones back then where I could have recorded the outlook and the way I was. Like 15 years ago, I was the most negative person most of my life. I didn't think anything good would come out of me ever. I walked the earth scared to death that I'd lose my job because I was so dumb and uneducated. I thought no one will ever love me, ever. That I was too stupid, too ugly, too fat. I remember even telling myself, I'm just not a lovable person. I was not meant to be married. I was not cut out for that because relationships just don't work in my family. I mean, for fuck's sake, y'all. I had such a bad, bad way of talking to myself. And I was so convinced as to how my life was going to work out. And that's what I tell myself now a lot of times. When I start freaking out about, I got my own freak outs. I got my own problems now. They don't go away. Problems and shit never go away. Fears and shit never go away. They just manifest in new ways. You just get better at handling them and they don't freak you out as much. But these days, when I'm really worried, when I'm just convinced this isn't working, whatever it is, I always go back to, girl, you have so much proof that shit you think often is just wrong. My crystal ball is completely fucking broken. That motherfucker does not work. And for years, I shook it like a magic eight ball thinking it did. And I would bet most of you feel the same way. You may not have everything you want in your life right now, but there is probably so many things that you thought at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, that you just knew what was going to happen And the world said, no, that's not the way it's going to work for you. A lot of times things are even better than we think. And this is when we start talking about leveling up thoughts. One of the easiest ways to get good at doing it is to tell yourself on paper, here are things I have been wrong about in my life. I was surprised that this didn't happen. The good things. Give yourself an opportunity to see where things worked out better than what you thought, because we all have them. And you'll have to look. Sometimes it's like obvious. Sometimes, like if you've had a rough life, it won't be obvious, but don't allow yourself to believe nothing has ever been better than you thought. Because there always has been. And when you do that, it allows yourself to see it's okay to think negative things and it's okay to believe it might not be as bad as I think. And that gives you a little peace and relief. Because somebody just said, and then I have to go because we have another call. We choose worst case scenario to protect ourselves from being hurt. We do, it's our brain's natural inclination. Is to try to work through every possible scenario of how things can bust up, go wrong, blah, 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 blah. The problem is we're trying to protect ourselves. That is a mechanism in our brain that was designed for mortal danger. Mortal danger. But y'all are sitting here and doing this. Y'all are trying to protect yourself from ego danger. Well, I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to look bad. I don't want to disappoint people. I want you to just notice that when you are trying to worst case scenario out it and you think it's so imperative that you don't get emotionally hurt, why? It's not a mortal danger. The worst that can happen is you emotionally get hurt. And you know what? If you're listening to this, you obviously can recover because all of us have been hurt and we keep going on. And yet we tell ourselves, I couldn't take another one. Lies that our brain tells us, another lie. A lot of us can be pretty fucking devastated and still get up the next day and still keep going on. The moment you realize you can be hurt and get through it, you have taken so much of your power in this world back. So let me finish telling you about Logan. Somebody asked about, Corinne started to talk about Logan's meditation and jumped to another topic. All right. So I'm like talking to Logan one day and he meditates. He was just like talking about his meditation. I was like, what meditation? He's like, oh, I meditate every day. And I said, really? He's like, yeah, I watched some YouTube and like learned how to do it. And I do it every day now. It's what helps me go to sleep. It's what he was having a problem with his stomach. He didn't tell us, and he ended up dropping some weight. And one day I looked at him, I said, baby, you look like you're getting thinner. And he said, well, I ha was having some stomach issues, and I got to where I was afraid to eat. And I was like, should we take you to the doctor? He said, no, I think I just, he thinks what happened is he ate something rich, like a little too much. He had some diarrhea. It freaked him out. And rather than telling us, he got food anxiety. And he got to where he could barely eat. And so instead of telling his parents, he went online and started digging around and was like, huh, one of the best things for food anxiety was to meditate. Little fucker is up to 45 minutes a day. Stone cold silent meditation too. He started with some music and some guiding, and then now he's moved on. I'm like, now look, if a 21-year-old boy can do it, I'm sure a few of us can sit around for 1 to 2 minutes a day and just listen to the fucking shit we think about. So y'all all go be like Logan. Start with a minute or two. Figure out what's going on in that brain. All right, y'all. Have a good week. I will see you on Sunday. Bye, y'all.